This is the national public broadcast of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim society leader. The following khutbah, or sermon, was recorded Friday, September the 1st, the year 2000, at Kennedy King College in Chicago, Illinois. The title, The Quran and Muhammad, the Last Prophet.
Dear believers, again, assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Praise and thanks to God, the Lord, cherisher, and keeper of the universe, in the management of the heavens and the earth, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin abduhu wa rasuluh sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'ad. The prayers and the peace be on Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, the last of the prophets, and what follows of that salute to the last prophet, and upon his ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, and upon his descendants, his companions, all be peace. And upon us be peace. We thank Allah for our life. To him we give worship only. If they left any suddenly we nestled. To him we give worship and make complete submission. Surrender our whole life and everything in our possession, our authority to our God, who made us, who created us, and created everything, and made it possible for us to have the things we have from his creation. Allah Most High says in the Quran that he gives the human beings their needs, their provisions, from the heavens and the earth. From the heavens and the earth. The sunshine, we couldn't live without it. It comes from the above, comes from above. The rain, we couldn't live without it. It comes from above. And many other things come from above. But the most important thing that he gives us from above, that gives us life like the rain, spiritual life, after we have been dead spiritually, is his word, his revelation, that descended in the night of power to Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him. And we have it with us today. The Quran, the holy book of God, his book, a guidance to us and a purifier to cleanse our souls and our minds and our society, even the environment, of those things that are forbidden, the haram. And haram also is shirk, associating others as gods with God. Inna shirk la zulmun azim. Indeed, that is the worst form of oppression. The worst form of oppression, to put false gods over people. We're living in them day and time that needs more than ever religion, true religion, straight religion, honest, sincere religion. We need it more now than ever. Why? As I see it, because it is because what the word of God came to mankind, or to the world of human beings, men and women, to prepare them for, is now here. Scripture came to prophets thousands of years ago, and who knows, maybe 20,000 years ago, maybe even longer, much further back than that. Allah says in his book, the Quran, he says that there has never been a nation that did not receive a messenger from God. God sent all of them, warn us, the word is, warn us. So there has never been a nation without a warner coming to it. Then that means the oldest records of any nation that they can find tells us that there was a messenger back then too. Not only a nation, but a messenger had come to them at one time or another in their life. We think of the Bible as a book of prophecy because it contains a lot of prophecy, but it also contains a lot of history, and it contains a lot of stories, like the Quran, but much more than the Quran. The Quran is a condensed book. In the Quran, it says, it is written, and they are astonished. It is amazed. They are amazed that this book leaves no matter out, small, neither small nor large. Whatever has been revealed before is dealt with in the Quran. Neither small matters, neither big matters nor small matters are left out of the Quran. The Quran addressed them all. We hear many things as Muslims from the teachers, the imams, from myself giving a khutbah. And many of us think that what we're hearing is only from the Quran, only from Muhammad Islam. Not necessarily so. I would say if most of what we give is not already given before in some other holy book or some other scripture, we are not given the truth. Because the Quran is a treatment of scriptures that came before, and an explanation and a completion. I'm giving you the words of God, not my words. This is what the Quran is. There are religions that don't have the idea of God that we have in religions like Judaism, Christianity, Islam, even Sabian religion that's mentioned in the Quran. These religions have similar design, similar construction, similar language. Especially when we are trying to address God and what God is and who God is, and trying to address man, human being, what the human being family is, and what our purpose is on this earth. These religions are all similar, very similar. Very similar. But other religions like Buddhism, Hinduism, and there are many more, they don't claim to believe in a God like we believe in a God. Hinduism is filled with gods, as you know. They have many gods. Buddhism, they claim that they don't have a God. There's no God. Buddha is an enlightened man. He comes to enlighten mankind, to educate mankind. He's not a god, they say. They say he's not a god. That's what the Buddhists say. Not what some books say that are written in the West over here by us or by some Westerners, but what they say. I've had occasions in the last 5 years of my life to meet with some of the most learned Buddhists on this earth. And I've learned from them things that I didn't know about their religion. But hearing from them, I'm convinced that they do have a God. They just don't have a language for it. They have a God. They definitely have a God. And the human being cannot exist without a God. Each and every one of you here, before you came to Islam, you had a God. And I'm not talking about what Christianity gave you. Even before you went to the church, you had a God. Man cannot exist without a suspicion that there is a power over him, that there is a higher power, authority over him. He can't exist without that. Now, he may give it different descriptions, but we all feel the same thing in our souls. So we all have God. But our minds, our own reasoning, without God's guidance, gives us false gods. Gives us false gods. See, this is the history of mankind, the history of human life on this earth. This is the history of human life on this earth. Having this feeling inside and trying to give a description to what we sense in our souls. And we do it with our own minds over the history of many thousand years of human history. We can see how this human family have evolved and have come into a rational belief, a rational religion, a rational faith. Early attempts to establish a religion may show nothing but guesswork, fear, superstitions. It shows only what has been in the dreams of those people, in their dreams, in their nightmares, in their troubled times, when they were fearing the storm would wipe their village away forever. Or the drought would never end and they would all die. Or when they wanted planted a crop and put all their sweat and blood into it and was hoping for a big yield at the end of the season when harvest time comes. And they strained to pray to a power outside of themselves, bigger than themselves, that they believed could answer their prayer. And what they came up with was their own religion, not necessarily humanity's religion. But these other religions that I know that are kindred religions, the religion of the Sabians, the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims, these religions, they are religions for humanity, not for necessarily for a tribe or a segment of this population on this earth of human beings, but for the whole humanity. Those religions are truly revealed religions, revealed religions. And as I said, even in ancient times, if there were nations on this earth building roads, as we are told in history, houses and fortresses, etc., and having trade on the high seas in ancient times, many thousands of years ago. They must also, according to Quran, we must, I would say, also accept that they had messengers come to them. That means if messenger came to them from God, the messenger came to them to advance the knowledge of the religion of humanity. See, there's a difference between religion and religion. One is religion of humanity. The other is imagination. As Allah puts it in the Quran, dhanna, ibn dhanna. Only guessing and imagining. God inspired the seeker to seek what is good for his human existence, not for his African existence, not for his European existence, for his human existence. And we have lived, well, we're blessed to be living in the end of time for this progression. By progression, I mean this continuous effort over the thousands and thousands of years to inform man of his own reality and how he is made and given that reality by his Lord, the God, the creator of everything. To advance that knowledge in mankind has been going on for thousands of years. And now we have lived to see the conclusion of that. Isn't this a wonderful time? It actually concluded as revelation 14 centuries or so ago, when Muhammad received in the night of power the first words of God to him for mankind. Now the Quran in its completed script. Wonderful! People say, oh, why should I believe in God? If you were educated in religion, you would never ask that question. If you were educated in religion, you could easily ask that question for anybody. So why should I believe in God? Because God's word has proved true against all other words. God's authority has prevailed over all other authorities. And the world today looks exactly like the prophet said it would look 1400 years ago. It looks just like they said it would look. God told them how it was going to look in the end, and that's exactly the way it looks. Just like they described it. That's why you should believe in God, if you have no other reason. But if you are an honest human being, you should believe in God because you have nothing else to help you accept God when you get in serious trouble. Every human being knows that. When we were slaves, we knew the white master that enslaved us. We knew he wasn't going to ask our prayers. So we had forgot the name Allah, Jehovah, and that whatever. We had forgot all that. But we learned from him. The English word God, and we called on God. If you need a language, some language, if you don't have one, you will form one of your own. It's a human being, intelligent, inventive creature. Praise be to Allah. If you knew how I felt now, you would feel 100 times better than you feel now. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Only my Lord knows how I feel now. I'm seeing as I'm talking to you the reality. And it makes me want to just be absolutely still. My mouth, my tongue, my limbs, even my heart begins to slow down. It is something. You can't be ignorant and appreciate this to the extent that I do. God has made me wise. When a long life bottle. When I was in my early years, 20, 30, even the beginning, maybe in my 40s, I couldn't appreciate Revelation, the prophet, peace be upon him, and the human being himself in the excellent mold that God made him, like I do now. No way. As you become more educated, then you have a bigger picture of truth, therefore a bigger appreciation for truth. Never will all the people be equal in knowledge. God didn't make us like that. All of us will be knowledge, have knowledge, but never will all of us be equal in knowledge. So if we're never going to be equal in knowledge, then that means we are never going to be equal in our appreciation for this religion. You get the logic? So God has made mothers and fathers to take care and protect children and see them up to manhood, or as prepared as they can make them for the challenges of this world. And God has made prophets and messengers and religious teachers who are under those prophets and messengers the guardians of the faith, the guardians of the faith. And we have to appreciate good. This is not for me. I'm out of the picture. I don't see myself when I'm talking like this. We have to make our proven leaders, who have proven their virtues to us, who have proven that they are virtuous people, first that they're faithful people, they have faith in God, they're faithful people, and they're virtuous people, and they are studious people. They study. Studious people, and are compassionate people, and generous people. We have to support them as our leader. And you sit before them like you're sitting before me now, most of you. Allah has blessed me also with good people to support me. You sit before them and you listen attentively, and you don't be looking for something to condemn. You be looking for something to support your life and help you with the job of living on this earth with your relatives, with your neighbors, with the world. Be listening for that. Don't listen for something to increase your doubts. Listen for something to increase your faith, and you'll be successful, and we'll have a great community. We'll have great communities if the people of faith would do that. Yes, great communities. There's nothing new. Human life is nothing new. It's the same now as it was 6,000 years ago, or 4,000 years ago, or 8,000 years ago. It hasn't changed. Human life is the same. There are two types of human beings. One is a human being that feels indebted and, because of feeling indebted, wants to help somebody else, wants to do something for somebody. Then there's the other kind of human being that human being does not feel indebted and want to get something from somebody else. What a gift, not gift. That's the truth. That's the truth. And God calls it what? Those who are ungrateful. The ungrateful and the grateful. That's how he separates them. The ungrateful, they are in degrees. And the worst of them is the Satan, the Shaitan himself. He is the most ungrateful of all creatures. Satan, Shaitan in Islam. Satan, the most ungrateful of all the creatures. And he depends on the ungrateful to support him and his design on the world, his plan for the world. So he's constantly working on those who have weak faith to get them to throw out all faith and become ungrateful. Then he can use them. They're here then. They're with the devil. Well, in our religion, we are told of the end of days. That language sounds more like Bible, doesn't it? Yes, the last day, the end of days. We are told of the conclusion of things, that this world, all of it, has been formed upon a logic and a law. And this universal logic and these universal laws that expresses this logic in different branches, in different forms, is cherished by the devil, the Satan, the Shaitan, who sees it as his tool. His tool for putting him up as the God of mankind. Now he in his own thinking, the devil thinks, Shaitan thinks, he in his own thinking never sees himself in this light. He never sees himself going against the Creator God, God the true God, who is the Creator. There's no other God except the Creator. He sees himself as an aid, as an agent, aiding God. He interprets God's law and the logic for himself. And he thinks because he's able to perceive it, to know it with his own mind and thinking, that it's intended for him. So the logic is his possession, he thinks. Now God says, you made me a fire, and you made me to have this knowledge that I have. Why don't you let me use it? Why do you make me for it and don't let me use it? Why are you going to give this human being, this goody-goody, who doesn't know how to use falsehood and sin and corruption to beat these dumb, stupid humans of yours into submission so they will be ready for you? I'll get all of them ready for you if you leave them to me. When I get through with them, they'll be begging for you. They'll be begging you to come into their life. But God says, no, I do not advance truth upon falsehood. So he cut him off, told him no, and rejected him. And he was hurt so bad. He said, since you have disappointed me like this, then I'm going out. And I'm going to go to these humans from before their faces, from behind their backs, from their left side and their right side. Say, when I have finished with them, you won't have any word of what you've given them. except the very few, your elect. And God gave him that freedom. God created everything to be free. Yes, God created everything to be free. You say, a stone ain't free. That's what you think. You think a stone ain't free. It may not be free to move about like you, but it's free. It ain't got nobody dictating what it should do. You never see it trying to polish itself up. You have to polish it up yourself, don't you? Nobody dictating anything to it. It has nothing to affect this life except this life. It's existence. That's what I mean by that. All right. Now, before the world was made in our religion, and it's in the Bible too if you know how to find it, how to identify it, it is said by our prophet, peace be upon him, Muhammad the Messenger of God, that God invited the archangel Jibril, Gabriel, in Christian language, Gabriel, to come and see the great world that he was about to form. And he showed it to Gabriel. This is the hadith, the reports collected by Bukhari and Muslim and some others. And so he is reported that God showed the creation to Gabriel, Jibril in Islam. And when Jibril saw it, he said, "My Lord." See, you didn't know Jibril had a Lord too, did you? Yes, the Holy Ghost got a Lord too. He said, "My Lord, how can anyone go wrong in such a wonderful world?" Then God showed him the same world that he was going to create after Satan had got into the picture and influenced the world. And when Jibril looked at it, peace be upon Jibril, he said, "My Lord, how can anyone go straight in such a world?" So that's telling us, that's really educating us to educate us. That's telling us that if it was not for Satan, everybody would have a good life. If it was not for Satan deceiving you out of your form that God put you in, everybody would have a good life. And that's also saying that man is created good. You hear me? That's also saying that man is created good. But it's the tempter to tempt him out of his nature, his form, his original nature, and his original form that you're responsible for him having the bad life that he has. Satan, the adversary, the enemy of all human beings, he's the enemy of human beings, the enemy of all human beings. He doesn't want us to be the human that God made us to be. And prophecy, before and with the Quran, warns us of that plan of Satan to bring humanity down and prove mankind unworthy of this great intellect that God has created him with, unworthy of it, this great tool that produced out of the world, original world that God made, all of these beautiful worlds of art, and science, etc., that man himself had created. So Satan, he wants to prove us unworthy of that freedom and that great station that God created us for in his creation. He wants to bring us down. Now, the end of the world, what do we expect the picture to look like in the end of the world? In the end of the world, according to the word of God, man will be so taxed, so heavily burdened with things to do. He'll be so busy with things to do that he won't have time to reflect, to do some moral thinking, to do some moral thinking. So the cause of this, the cause of him being, his energy, mental energy, being so overly taxed, being so fully and completely occupied, his mind that is, he won't be in a situation to keep the moral life that an ignorant man in a normal situation can manage. So the devil will be making great strides. Satan will be making great strides. In the end of time, we expect to see the worst picture of corruption. The end of time. Much of what we hear as statements seem to be statements in the past time. Well, not as much statements for the past time as those statements of Revelation were and are for the present time. Corruption has spread it over land and sea. Land and sea. This is in the Bible and also in the Quran. And crowds will be going hastily, moving hastily about, people in crowds. And there'll be a lot of noise. Now, when these revelations were given, the world was very quiet, relatively speaking. In fact, it was silent almost, relatively speaking. It was silent, a very quiet world, the earth, that is. So if it's prophesying, if scripture is telling us that there are coming a time when man's life, man's society will be crowded, and there will be a lot of noise. Don't look back there, look at today. There have never been crowds like we have today on this planet. And there have never been noise like we have on this planet today. So we're living in the time of the conclusion of the revelation. The revelation concluded as the communication to man from God, as I said earlier, a little better than 14 centuries ago. But what the revelation came to tell us of that's going to occur on this earth is being concluded now in our time. It was not in my grandfather's time. It was not even in my father's time. But it is in my time. And that's your time, because we're all here together. In our time, we're seeing the end of the world. Now, I'm not pointing to the honor of Elijah Muhammad to say he's any more than I told you he was 25 years ago. He's a man, not a prophet, not an angel, just a man. But he's a man used by higher power. Okay? Not mission by higher power, used by the higher power. And his people are people. Not missioned by the higher power, but used by the higher power. And because his race and his, in the position that we're in the realities of this world, we are more conditioned to strain for truth than other people.
we are more in a condition to strain for answers than other people. So our psychic energies are higher than other people on the whole. Our psychic perception is greater than theirs on the whole. Yes. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad spoke things that have come true. He said, when I'm finished, it will be the end. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad passed in 1977. 75, pardon me. I don't know why I said 77. 2 years later. Yes, I do. Because most things come to that conclusion in seven. Maybe that's why. They were working in the back of my mind. Yes, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad passed in the year 1975, and by the end of the 70s, the world was finished. You're looking for the physical destruction of the world. That's not what Scripture is about. Scripture is not about the physical destruction of the world. It comes to destroy what man did to the world. It doesn't come to destroy the original world that God made. Nothing went wrong with the sun and the moon as God made it. And hence, nothing is wrong with the earth as God made it. But the bad world that the man has made and the faith following the Satan of this earth, the bad world, the bad earth that man has made of this earth following the Satan, that's what has to be destroyed. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad left us, and within a few years of his passing, we could see the end of the world had come. The presidents of this land just didn't have the spirit and enthusiasm that they had in earlier times, in the earlier history of this nation. Not even the enthusiasm that John F. Kennedy had, or Lyndon Baines Johnson had. The later presidents just seem to have lost their enthusiasm, lost their light, lost their spirit. And we've gotten used to it now after having about two or three of them. We think they're all right. They are all right. They're very good people for the time. But they don't have the vision and enthusiasm that presidents had before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's passing. Sin just went to its extreme. Everything, just everything came out. Approval for anything, everything. Corrupt and wrong. It started long before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad passed, but after the Honorable Elijah Muhammad passing, the crowds, the public, changed their whole mind and attitude toward obedience to a higher authority. They think it ain't serious. They came to think they're not serious. God, obey God, believe in God. You're not serious, are you, buddy? Yeah, I'm religious, all right, but that's too much to think about. Homosexuality. You're afraid to speak against it now. You're afraid you might be hated by everybody. You might become a bad guy if you say something against the homosexuals. Drugs came out of the black man's neighborhood, went into the white man's neighborhood. Came out of the poor people's life and went into the rich people's life. Came out of the fool's lives and went into the learned people's lives. Drugs! All these things just went rampant. If that ain't a sign of any time, what is? And everybody wants to have more money than they know they can possibly earn. Everybody, no matter how dumb, how unskilled, want to have a lot of money. Got to have it. And don't want to admit that they're poor to anybody. You can't hardly find a person that will admit they're poor. Only when they're at home. By themselves. When they step out that door, they're trying to make you think they got money. Oh, how much is that? Well, I really wanted that. Can you put it in the layaway for me? And they know it'll be there long after they're dead. They will never legally get enough money to get that buy that thing. Well, you put it in the layaway for me. No, I don't have quite enough faith for it now. I'll come back. No one admit, I don't have enough money to even be in your stuff. I'm supposed to be on my block buying what's there, waiting for somebody to bring me something. Poor, but don't want to admit it. In our holy book, God says, that Satan bids you and threatens you with poverty. He bids you to be wrong, to accept corruption, and he threatens you with poverty. Makes you afraid that being poor is going to finish you. Oh, poverty is too much of a burden to carry. I just can't be poor. So if you can't be poor, then you're going to steal, too, right? You can't be poor and you don't have the skills or the wherewithal to earn it legally, then if you can't stand poverty, you're going to steal. You're going to hit somebody in the head and take their money. You're going to snatch your old lady's purse or something. So Satan, he comes in the end of time and he lifts crime way up. The crime that was really bad before, and the people hear about it, they say, oh, that happened? When did that happen? Oh, 2 months ago I read about it. Oh, that's terrible. Now, the second ago, the minute ago, I heard about it. And it's much bigger as a problem. Just a mushroom. As a problem, crime. And the Satan has done this. The Satan himself has done this. By taking your mind away from God, by causing you to perceive God differently, so God now is just a buddy that you take seriously when you want to. But the rest of the time you call on my God. Oh my God! I forgot my curling eyes, girl. Can I borrow yours? My God! Where did you get that? Woo, girl! Tell me where you got that piece. I'm gonna go get me one. Fine. Soon as I get my money. My God! Use my God like you know. Just nothing. My God, nothing. And I hate it. One time I was in the public, the lady said, my God! I said, did you call me? And I knew she wouldn't forget that. I just wanted her to remember that she's not supposed to say that like that. I said, did you call me? And
at home, I'm sure, I'm not sure. You can't stop it. It just like a contagious disease or something. Once it get out, it spreads through the family and everybody like an epidemic. That's what it is. It becomes an epidemic. Right here, one daughter. My God. I said, look, my God too, not just yours. I don't like the way you use it. I don't like the way you use the name God. You have to check your children. Because Satan is trying to get them completely under his influences. So you have to be battling him all the time. Now, the end of time. In our holy book, all of these things that we're seeing now, the great crowds, the epidemic of corruption, sin, filth, perversion of the excellent nature that God gave us as human beings, all of this that we see now prophesied of before, long time ago, in fact, thousands of years ago. And the Quran comes to bring the prophecy clearer to us so that we'll be able to more easily identify it when it comes. Yes, this is what God told us about. We can easily identify it. Another sign, how do you know poverty? Poverty. You're threatened by poverty. You can't raise your children like you want to, for many reasons. But also, you can't even buy for them like you want to. You want to buy according to the reality of your pocket or your bank account. But you can't do that. And you don't want to hurt their feelings because so many other boys or girls their age got those things. Television makes it so the child believes every child got these. So you feel so bad, you will really go against your good business or money management sense, your own budget sense, and you'll go buy that expensive $200-some shoe for your teenage child. That's what Satan's done for us. Now, God says that he bids you to do evil, corruption, to follow corruption, and he threatens you with poverty, Satan. He said, but God, he invites you to forgiveness. To forgiveness and his favors, his blessings. There's the two. God is showing us the two forces that have power in your life. In the extreme, God and the Shaitan, the devil, Satan. The Satan invites you to a corrupt life and he threatens you with poverty. And the God, he invites you to forgiveness. And he offers you suddenly, whatever you like. But not in the mind the devil gave you, whatever you like in the mind God created for you. Yes, and it means these things, nice clothes. This coat here, so nice, it costs so much, I'm going to take it off. I got it in California, L.A. Put that over there for me. See, I got weight here, see that? 90 degrees, you ain't supposed to wear a coat like that. But that thing looks so good on the rack, it looks better than all them thin ones I got. I want to show it off today on gym all day. Oh, you can see it up close. The fabric just speaks to you. Talks to you. And that's what I bought with my paycheck. Most of the time you see me when somebody, one of these mams or somebody, gave it to me. I bought it from him. But that one, that's my money right there. I can't blame anybody for spending that kind of money on that coat. I did it myself. And if God keep on
helping me to move up in righteousness and obedience to him and get more help from you, I'm going to get another one in two or three more like that. Yeah. Yeah, the followers of Satan, they're not supposed to have nice things. The followers of God are supposed to have nice things. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. We want to change this thing the way it's supposed to be. You're going to keep working at it, too. Praise be to Allah. Yes. So in concluding this, both books say the word of God never can be changed. The Quran and the Bible. The word of God never can be changed. Whatever God says is there, it's permanent, and you can't change it. No changing the word of God. And God says, the word of God is fulfilled in truth and justice. Sitkan wa adla. The word of God is fulfilled in truth and justice. So this is not just a statement to us people. This is a prophecy. It's a statement and a prophecy. It's saying that the Satan came into the picture, the rebellious jinn, who was leading the angels in the heavens, refused to accept God's plan to bring man up on the earth and put him in charge of his own affairs, under God, of course. He was so jealous that he went out to destroy the possibility of man being successful in his great creation and great plan that God gave him. Now, so the word being proved true means that injustice will be working against justice. And Satan will be advancing this trend to have injustice defeat justice. And falsehood will be working against truth. And Satan will be the master. He will be the genius advancing that trend to have falsehood defeat truth. Not falsehood in scripture, only falsehood in your life to make you false. To make you false as a person. To make you false as a thinker. To make you false as a family man. But God says that his word is fulfilled in truth and justice. Now his word is just not one word. His word is the whole book, the Quran. The whole Quran is a book of many words, but it's also called the word of God. Singular. For God gives us many words for our own mind and needs, but with the God, the whole message
is of a single word. Isn't that wonderful? That is wonderful. That is wonderful. And I would go so far as to tell you that that single word is Muhammad's obedience to Allah. Yes! That single word is the Uswa of Muhammad. His model for all who believe in God and fear the last day. That is one word. But it is revealed in all of these many words printed in the scripture to us as guidance to the mind of man. But with God, it's only one word. And that brings me to this point. The disbelievers who follow the influences of the Satan, the Shaitan, they want man to think that he's really created to be as bad as he is. He's really created to be as false as he is. That really the human being is just a bad creation. Now isn't that what Art has said in many of his writings? Art, Western art. Maybe some other art too, our real art too, maybe sometimes. That man is just a bad creation. Look what one of the so-called philosopher poets said. To err, that means to make mistakes. To err is human. To forgive is divine. That statement, to me, is a statement in coming out of the mouth of an innocent philosopher poet. But it was put into the mind and mouth of that poet by Satan himself. Now listen to it. Just listen to it. To err is human. To forgive is divine. Forgiveness is a virtue. So what is that? What is he saying? Is he saying virtues are not of human nature? That the human being is not really a creature of virtues? That if he takes on virtues, he's taking on something that is not really of himself? Something that's not of himself? But is of God? So I have nothing but one choice then? Be corrupt or be God? Huh? Is that what he's saying? Be corrupt or be God? You have no other choice. Because your virtues are not your own. But your ignorance, your flaws, your defects, your errors, those are yours, that's human. But truthfulness, like forgiveness, is divine. That's not yours. And if you read scripture, if you understand scripture, I'm only speaking long because you all don't get a chance to be with each other like this often. And the sun is still staying in the sky a long time before night comes. Okay, now, if you understand, if you recall scripture, or if you read it for yourself, if you have that interest, you'll find that these things have already been predicted. They've been told to us in scripture. That there's an effort to put man down, to put his worth down, to degrade him, to prove him to be unworthy of the value we usually associate with the human being. That scripture tells us that. There's seven eyes, this is the Bible, went out to disprove the human being as being worthy. And seven went out to prove the human being worthy. So it's saying that you have forces working to discredit your natural worth that God gave you. And forces working to against that, countering that force to prove you worthy. Now,
in my opinion, it's not just those who say, well, I'm not interested in religion. I don't bother with that. It's not that way anymore. It's also those who claim to have a sincere interest in religion. That's contributing to us seeing the human being in a different light and not taking the human being serious as a creature of the highest plane in this material world, among created things. Now let's not think of ourselves as human beings in a world with white people. Now I know it might be a few white people in here. It won't hurt you what I'm going to say here, my little experiment here. Now this, you're all black and pretend that no white people exist and never, ever existed. For us in America, that means we don't have any literature. We never saw pens and pencils. Because it was because of the white man that these things came into our possession. After we were separated from Africa, okay? Oh, you got it? Okay, good. See, keep it the language. Keep it the language. I said us. I didn't say Africans. Us here in America. African Americans here, let us imagine that there are no white people. White people never existed. They're only the world and animals and plants and animals, that's all we have. Now, in this world, with no white man, no white folks, and no advancement by them, we are looking at trees and the land and its natural order, untouched by man, and looking at the animals, and we're trying to figure out who we are. Now, who are we? Who are we? We're not trees. We're not plants. We're not animals. We're not like the animals. We're different from all the other animals. How are we different from all the other animals? Now, we in this world now, and we don't have nobody to answer any questions except ourselves. Now, how are we different from the dog? How are we different from the horse? How are we different from the birds? How are we different? Can we outrun all of them? Can we outfight all of them? Can we beat all of them? Toe to toe? Fist to fist? Can we beat all of them? No. Do we have any superiority over them? If we do, what is it? Our mind, right? Our head, our thinking is superior to theirs. So our identity then should be above theirs, shouldn't it? Our value as flesh creatures, much above theirs then, right? Much above theirs, correct? Much above theirs. I don't care whether you give it the name human, or in the Quran, Bashar, Bashar, B-S-H-A-R, Bashar. I don't care what name you give it. We're talking about that distinguishes you from all other created things, the living creatures, that distinguish you from them and put you much higher than them, put you above them. That's what we're talking about. That's your true identity. Your difference that stands out in creation and puts you above all flesh as a creature that can do more with his life in this reality than all other creatures. That's what puts you above all other creatures,
And that's what establishes your individual, personal identity. We call it human. That's what we call it. We call it human. God has made us human and put us over all the other flesh that he created. We're human. Now, when a white man come into the picture, we are black. He didn't make us black, but he's white, so we have to distinguish between us and him. He's white, we're black. Are we going to take on the new name that we have to distinguish ourselves among white folks and forget the first name that established our worth, our special worth as creatures of God, creatures created by God? You see how we have gone astray? We have let the term black become more important to us than our valued, highly valued, esteemable identity. Thinking creature. Planning creature. Created creature. Invented creature. That's Allahu Akbar. That's our identity, brothers and sisters. And that identity in its behavior that God created it to have, in the behavior mode God gave it when he created it, is the true Muslim. Is the true Muslim. Now in the Western society, we get into the end of this. In the Western society, we have seen human identity valued, promoted, defended, etc. There is not a nation on this planet other than this nation and the European nation that this nation came from and was founded upon, that was made up. Their old citizens came here and started a new nation, a new world. No other people have done more to promote human rights than these people. But if you understand the Quran and the Bible, but I'm speaking of the Quran is what awakened the West to respect the precious vessel, the highly esteemable creation we call the human being. Yes. They were not always promoting human rights. Before Islam came, they thought the common people were fated to be in the condition that they were in, and you should just leave them. That's that God had intended for them to be like that. Just leave them alone. Women were not respected before the Quran came. There was no such thing as women's rights, no such thing as slave rights. Do you know the Quran came and established slave rights? The right to be free if you want to be free. That's one of the rights Islam established. The right for you to be free if you want to be free. Yes? And the right to have decent treatment, whether you're a slave or a free man, to have the decent treatment of a free man. The master, if he can clothe his children well, under the Prophet Muhammad and Islam in the time of the Prophet, he had to clothe his slaves well. If he could feed his children well, he had to feed his slaves well. The saying is, clothe your servants or slaves with the clothing that you wear, and feed them with the food that you eat. Or feed them, partly, the food that you eat.
This is I'm quoting our prophet's instructions. Praise be to Allah. So this was really awakening in the nations by the Quran and Muhammad. Disrespect for the human vessel, for the sacred human vessel. And so we have this great progress for the workforce of common workers. This great progress we have because of the West. But where did it start? It started with Quran, when the Muslims were on the right track and were sincere about obeying the God and His messenger. Yes, it started back there. Muhammad's community was the model of human excellence. Model of human excellence. Nobody was just treated like he was of an inferior stock or inferior creation. No. Prophet wouldn't tolerate that. He did not tolerate that. The Quran was against that. The Prophet wouldn't tolerate it. In concluding this, God says also, I mentioned, He said, the word is concluded, or fulfilled in truth and justice. Another one, wasi'a kulli shay'in ilman wa rahma. Everything is extended, promoted, spread out in the context of mercy, ilman, knowledge, science, and mercy. And mercy. And mercy. Knowledge, or science, both, and mercy. And mercy. Those who gain high knowledge over others, others are at their mercy. So this is a warning, an invitation, an appeal, an invitation to those who will get that power over the ignorant. And also a warning if they understand it. Because it says God has done this. Meaning if you go against this, you're going to be overcome. Because God is going to prevail. God's plan, His will, His way, He and His word will prevail. So it's also a warning to the nations, a warning to mankind. Yes, you're going to come into great knowledge and science, but be as God has been. He has extended it to you also with mercy. Isn't that wonderful? Extend it to you also with mercy. Look how science has punished some of us, punished some of our cities. Science in the wrong hands, or under the wrong authority. And look how the learned have messed up the life of England. Yes, the learned have messed up the life of England, have shown no mercy. They have put us into a life that is nothing but a constant struggle. Can't take care of human needs. Can't have time with my wife to have just a normal relationship with my wife, and my children. I don't have the time. She's driven. She has to work too. Both of us have to work. We both are spending most of our life working to pay bills. And we're telling our children that you stay in school, you learn, you fail, you're going to be on welfare, or in the streets. If you want the good things that we got, you better work. So can't you see that Satan has accomplished what he said he wanted to accomplish? He has put us in a situation where we're driven by poverty, to the extent that we our whole life is driven to have material things. Whole life is occupied and driven so that we can have material things. Escape poverty. Escape that. Go to school so you won't be poor.
go to school so you'll be successful. And when you say that, you mean you'll be able to get more money. You don't mean successful on Judgment Day. You don't mean that. Muhammad saying, peace be upon the Prophet, says this, so in the end of time, there'll be many signs at the end of time, and one of them will be that the common laborer will be competing with the establishment to erect high buildings, skyscrapers. Mr. Johnson of Jet and Ebony, something in his soul, in his pride that God created him with, didn't like that all the buildings, tall buildings on the outer drive were built by white folks. Mr. Johnson said, I'm going to put me up one. He put him up one. It's not as tall, it can't wait to go down a little further north. But you sure can see it from the outer drive. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he built the Pioneers building, the office building on the south side. It went up in the air. For us, it was a big thing. We got architects, builders now, African-American builders, who are building skyscrapers, building tall buildings. So that's the prophecy has come true. Here the ex-slave, the man that the world thought would never be able to do these things, would overcome slavery, the setback of slavery, and be doing these things. Now he is competing with his master's children in building the world, the industrial world. And we're in there too, in that competition. Collective Purchasing Conference. Our investors and our efforts, our vision and our efforts. We're in there too, we're competing. Yes, and we're going up. We're going up. This day have already been prophesied of. Yes? Now, dear people, now that we see these signs, the signs of the end of time, you should see it as the conclusion of things. Because God has said his word is concluded, fulfilled in truth and justice. You need the two to have, you can't have justice without truth. And if you got truth, truth says, be just. They can't be separated. You have to have the two together, truth and justice. His word shall be fulfilled in truth and justice. Truth against the lie of my word as a human being. The lie that says, I'm three-fifths of a person and not a whole person. Three-fifths of a human being and not a whole human being. So that law has to be defeated by truth if God's word is to be fulfilled. And his word never changes. It must be fulfilled. This is scripture. All right? That's the lie. That my ability to handle my life and manage this environment that God created me for, as he created white folks for, or anybody else for, is not as good as his. That lie has to be defeated. That lie has to be proved wrong. And there's something in our souls driving us, not all of us, not need all of us. You have more fingers than you have heads. You got 10 fingers, you got one head. 4 major limbs, one head. Then we don't need all of us. We just need another one to be the head of this African-American body. To provide this African-American body with an appropriate head. That's all we need. We don't ever look for all of us to be on the same level. Don't look for all of us to be having the same drive. Never look for all of us to produce equally. Don't look for that. But look for the best of us to step forward.
so that the majority, all of us, can have a better life. That's all. But God has made it that way. And that's the way it's going to stay forever. So we're living in the last day. We're talking about the last day for all of these thousands of years and centuries now in America, talking about the last day. And the last days are here. The last days are here. Yes, I should say this. The progress that God wants for us is progress with our human life, with our human life. God wants us to progress, make progress with our human life. And to make progress in every corner of our human life. Not just progress for one part of the human life and not the other. Progress for every quarter of our human life. God wants to see us make progress. And our progress with human life is our service to our God. You think Allah is sitting somewhere existing upon what we give him? Oh, God is not going to be doing very well if I don't do this that he asked me to do for him. He was existing before the world, and he didn't have a need for anything. This is Islam, this is Quran. He was existing before the world, and he didn't have a need for anything. He created the world only for mankind. Not for him. He created all of this world for humankind. That's what he did it for. He didn't need it. But he was of his own will and being, of his own nature, if we could use that term, of his own existence. Nature wouldn't be correct for God. Of his own existence, he had to create the world for human benefit, to benefit human beings, so that human beings would experience the gifts of God and qualify for even higher and more blessings to come. God had to do that. Because his own being is loving, merciful, giving, kind, charitable, etc. He couldn't exist without giving. So he gave us the whole world, skies and earth. Sakara lakum, nafisana rati wa nafilat. He has made for your use, for your benefit, whatever you see in the sky and whatever is in the earth. He needs nothing. He said, don't ask that you feed me. This is the Quran. God says, I don't ask that you feed me. You need food, not God. He exists without anything except his own being. He needs nothing else. So, really, the progress with our Muslim life is the progress with our human life in the state God wants it to be in. You hear what I'm saying? The progress with our Muslim life is the progress with our human life in the state that God wants it in. Your true human life before disobedience is Muslim. So when we say Muslim and Islam, we are saying human in the best language of the civilized world. But there's another term, mortal, bashar. for the human person, Bashar, mortal. And it's isn't wonderful that God says to, through Muhammad, it's in the scripture, he speaks through Muhammad, he says to Muhammad, take it in, that you are mortal like they are. And then said, me, just like they are. Said, say, Ala Bashar, Mithluhu, I am a mortal human person like you are. Now, this mortal human person is also in the right, I would say, elevation for his growth and maturity and progress with his life. This mortal human person is also the good news bringer. Bashir from Bashar. Think about this. Especially you deep thinkers. You philosophical thinkers. Think about this. Think about what God is saying in the Quran when he says that all of us are just mortals, human mortals. Bashar. Muhammad is one and we are one just like he is. But the special, if you are that special one in the perfection of your human life, then you are also the Bashir, the good news bringer. And isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? That I don't have to come out of my nature to be a messenger of God. I don't have to come out of my nature to bring good news to mankind. I just have to come into the excellence of my nature to do that. So I don't have to come out of my nature to be a Muslim. I have to oblige my best nature to be a Muslim. I just have to satisfy my best nature, and I'm Muslim. Isn't that wonderful? God did not give me a religion for something that's not human. God gave me a manual for human life. So God didn't give me anything foreign to my human existence. God gave me that my human existence was created to ask for. Isn't that something? God gave me something human when he gave me this Quran. He gave me my humanity when he gave me this Quran. And I didn't become a Muslim in 1933. I was created a Muslim. Isn't that wonderful? And I was not just put on the path of God with the coming of the name Islam. I was on the path of God when God made me want to see my humanity rise. Yes! Yes! I was on the path of God when I wanted to see my humanity rise. Because to advance your humanity in accordance with God's will for you is Sirat al-Mustaqim. Hey, you may not know it, but I'm responding to the book. It ain't coming from me, buddy. I'm responding to the book and to the model, Muhammad the Prophet, his uswa. Peace and blessings be upon him. All right, so I think I've made my point. If you listen to the world tell you what Islam is, it'll become distasteful in your mouth. If you follow these dummy men, you'll get bored in your religion. If you follow the good common sense that I've given you today, you're going to get happier and happier, more energetic and more energetic, more creative and more creative. Woo! More industrial and more industrial. You're going to take your humanity forward. Because you'll know that you're really living the light of religion. And you're really living revelation when you're advancing your own humanity. that the religion is really nothing but an illumination of your own original model that God gave you. It's an illumination of that model. You couldn't illuminate it just like you couldn't create it. So God has revealed to you that illumination of your own human model that God made. Now, I've said it as plain as I wanted to say it. So I have a spirit in me. I have a spirit in me that was with me before I understood Father Elijah Muhammad's teaching. When I just heard the good stuff, responded to the good stuff, and kept going forward with it, but not really understanding the whole message, not really being able to carry the whole message, to be truthful with it. No, I couldn't carry the whole message. My own nature wouldn't let me carry the whole message. I didn't fight it, but I didn't carry it. What I mean by carrying it, I didn't put that burden upon my mind to say, I have to make sense of this. No, I say, well, I don't have to do anything with it. I'm just going to take what I like and I ain't going to touch the other stuff. Yeah, that was my position. And that was the position of many of you. Under Muhammad Elijah Muhammad. I know it. We loved him so much we wouldn't fight it. We just left it alone and went with what we could go with. And we sure could go with black man is better than a white man. And the black man should be saved and the white man should be destroyed. We sure was going on with that. That was easy. This is a bad time we had back then. Bad times. And still ain't got it as good as we should have it. But it ain't left to the white world anymore. It's left to us. And we're going to do the job. In my conclusion, we are living in the time that has been predicted. The final day. We're living in that time right now. And the signs are clear, big and clear, that this is the conclusion of things. The matter is being concluded. That struggle between truth and falsehood, that struggle between corruption and righteousness, that struggle between slavery and justice, slavery and freedom, all that's being concluded now in this day and time. And we don't have to be miserable anymore. We are free and we have our provisions again. God says he gives every creature his provisions from the heavens and from the earth. Mm-hmm. In another place he says he's given you provisions in full measures. In full measures. That means your natural life, your inherent worth, is the gift of God to you. The gift of God to you. All of your excellence as a human being that's in your nature. As God created it, God provided all that for you, and if you respect it, he will give you much more as enlightenment, mercy, kindness, generosity. You just multiply his favors in your life. That's what he promised. That's what he's doing. He did it for others. He's doing it for us. Yes, he's doing it for us. So don't forget the human struggle. The human struggle puts us on the path of God. And we must continue the human struggle to stay on the path of God. And God will give us all the help we need to fulfill our lives in the most excellent way, to make all the progress we want to make on this path. The Quran is enough for all humanity. Muhammad, the prophet, as a human model to show us what God wants in us as human beings,
He's enough for all humanity. God says, He is enough for all humanity. That's what Allah said in the Quran. And you, some of you thought I said that, didn't you? You should get more familiar with the Quran and you'll be able to follow me much better. I'm going to say that again. Yes, especially you doubting Thomas. Get more, and by the way, I got a neighbor here. The family name is Thomas. That has nothing to do with you. You beautiful young lady. That has nothing to do with you. That's just an expression, Dowling Thomas's. You Dowling Thomas's. If you read the Quran and got more familiar with it, you would be able to follow me more smoothly. You wouldn't be jerking and carrying on, snapping and jerking and carrying on. You would know what I'd say. You're supported by the Word of God in this great book, this book that is enough for all humanity. So we thank God for this life and this time that we are in, and we pray that more of us will become aware of the great signs of God in our day and time, that are bigger miracles and bigger signs of God's existence and His prevailing over all opposition than the separation of the waters in the day of Moses and all the other great miracles we read about, walking on water. What we see today is really more meaningful, in my opinion, more convincing, more relevant and more convincing than all of those great miracles we read about in scriptures of old. Those scriptures, those miracles, they can't be equal in value to the resurrection of the dead and the advancement of human society. No. Those miracles, best they did was just strengthen the faith and kept the people going forward. But the real freedom and liberation, salvation, resurrection, progress for human life only comes with education. And that's what this book came in the world to do. Properly educate the human family so that we can have the great use of this wonderful creation that God created us for and go forward with our human life and know that going forward with our human life is really going forward on the path of God. Thank you. Peace be unto you. So we ask God to forgive us our errors, our shortcomings, forgive us our sins, save us from the corruption of the world, draw us nearer and nearer to yourself, our Lord, and closer and closer to the way of Muhammad the Prophet, so we will not be taken by the Satan. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا افرغ علينا صبرا وكبر أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. We witness, praise and witness the existence of the one God, and we salute the last prophet with a traditional salute, the prayers and the peace be upon him. In the conclusion of this address on this day, on this most precious day, the sacred day of ours, the Jumu'ah day, we ask God to save our lives, our hearts from going astray back into ignorance and corruption after He has guided us aright. We ask God to give us in this life good and in the next good. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة. And to save us from the fires of sin, from the hell fires. وقنا عذاب النار. Amen. We pray the prayer of Abraham and the prayer for our Prophet Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alameen innaka hamidun majid. O Allah, make Muhammad successful and his followers successful as you made Abraham successful and his followers successful. And bless Muhammad and his followers as you blessed Abraham and the followers of Abraham. Surely you are praised and magnified. Amen.
Be sure to join us next time for the national public broadcast of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim society leader. For more on the ministry of W.D. Muhammad, call 1-708-798-6750. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.